come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which is alike. In the nonprofit world, social entrepreneurialism is on the rise. My next guest leads one of the world's largest philanthropic organizations. We'll discuss the art of doing good. Dr. Jeffrey Solomon is the president of the Andrea and Charles Bronfman Philanthropies, a group of foundations operating in Canada, Israel, and the United States. Dr. Solomon is the author of over 100 publications in both professional journals and outlets like the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal. He served as an adjunct associate professor at New York University and sits on numerous nonprofit and foundation boards. His latest book is titled The Art of Doing Good, Where Passion Meets Action, and it was co-authored with billionaire philanthropist Charles Bronfman. Joining us from New York, how are you today, Jeffrey?
I'm very well. Thank you, Bill.
Well, thank you for being on the show and being a thought leader in this area. Now, I find it interesting. There's a trend going on in the business world today that business school graduates and business people in general are taking their talents into the nonprofit world. Entrepreneurs are seeing that they can change the world. Some choose to do it with products or services. Others choose a cause. And you've identified 18 social entrepreneurs that you feature in your book. How did you select the 18 from the many social entrepreneurs there are to choose from?
Well, we reviewed about 200. Some were CNN heroes, some were NBC stories of the week. We really wanted to look at a number of them from a number of different perspectives and try to make a series of management suggestions emerging from their experiences. So the 18 really represent extraordinary people who've done extraordinary things, but each of them had bumps along the way, and challenges along the way, that are lessons for others who would like to become social entrepreneurs.
Now, what commonalities did you see, Jeffrey, amongst the experiences that each of these social entrepreneurs had?
There are two that are overwhelming. The first is the idea, and this is no different than business entrepreneurs, the idea that drove them really captured them. It's not as if they captured the idea. Once they had the idea for doing good differently, whether it was providing low-cost eyeglasses in the developing world or building a charter school, that idea captured them, and they had no choice. They gave up their lives for this idea. And the second is that these were people who were comfortable hearing the word no and going on and getting to yes.
Always a good trait for any entrepreneur to have, whether it's a social entrepreneur or an entrepreneur in business. So you say it's the idea that captures them. How does one bring a social change idea to life? I mean, you talked to these 18 in your book. You know, how did they grasp onto it? What were the steps that they took in order to bring their cause to life?
You know, for some, it was very methodical, proving concept, testing things out. And for others, it was doing what their instinct told them. We tell the story of a San Diego man, Scott Silverman, who, after his own tragedies with multi-drug abuse, he decided that he wanted to help people get a second chance, especially to get back to work. And he, on the spur of the moment, with no training, no understanding of what all was involved, said to a homeless person who said, okay, I want you to help me. He said, give me 10 push-ups. And the homeless person said, no, why the hell should I give you 10 push-ups? And his instinct was that somebody had to be motivated before they could even begin to get job ready. And several weeks later, when this man came back and said, I'm ready to give you 10 push-ups, he experienced the lessons of what it took.
And I think the push-ups is a great example of some of the practical concerns that you have to keep in mind once you figure out an idea that solves a social problem. So talk to us, what are some of the other practical concerns that maybe slow up a social entrepreneurial idea?
One of the major ones is what role do you, the entrepreneur, want to play in it? Is this going to become your full-time profession? Or are you going to be a board chair who drives it and hires professionals? Where are you going to get your money from? That's the most challenging issues. And unlike the business entrepreneur, where there are angel investors and mezzanine investors, and you go into it thinking about every level of the investment side of it, in social entrepreneurship, you know, there isn't the same kind of sophistications, because the return on investment is not a financial return. It's a return in terms of meaning, in terms of the pleasure that one gets in helping one's fellow human, but it's a very different capital market than a capital market that provides financial return on investment.
All right. My guest is Jeffrey Solomon. He is the co-author of The Art of Doing Good, Where Passion Meets Action. We're talking about social entrepreneurialism. So let's talk about a founder who has to make that decision whether they're going to be the driving force or they're going to hire people to come in. In what sense is the founder crucial to the success of any nonprofit venture?
Generally, it's the founder's vision and keeping the organization that she or he builds true to that vision and focused on the right things is absolutely key. Most social entrepreneurs have the leadership skills. They say the difference between a manager and a leader is managers do things right, leaders do the right things. And the common theme among so many of these social entrepreneurs where they were able to articulate their vision, to turn it into, if you will, an elevator pitch, something that people could understand, and to be Pied Pipers in terms of creating enthusiastic champions for their ideas. And those are the attributes that's needed to grow a nonprofit.
Well, give us some examples of the 18 that you looked at. Were there any remarkable stories that stood out to you?
There were any number of remarkable stories. One has to do with a woman by the name of Rebecca Oney. Rebecca was a young Harvard student in Boston, and she went to volunteer at a health clinic that was serving the lowest income people in Boston, and listened to the physicians basically complain about the fact that the medical problems are far easier to solve than the housing, sanitation, education, and other problems that ultimately overwhelmed whatever medical problem existed. And she did some homework and discovered that there was a clinic, similar clinic in Virginia, that had issued prescriptions for social problems to be solved. And she believed that there were volunteers in Boston, especially in the universities of Boston, that could help with issues of housing and education and health. And indeed, she began to recruit volunteers and built an organization, Health Leads, which is an adjunct to medical services in Boston and makes an enormous difference in the lives of those patients.
What a great story. My guest is Jeffrey Solomon, co-author of the book, The Art of Doing Good, Where Passion Meets Action. So, Jeffrey, in the business world, if you're an entrepreneur, the end goal is to have an exit strategy, to know when you're going to get out. How does a social entrepreneur know when the mission is accomplished?
In many ways, I think that's the most trying challenge for the social entrepreneur. Founder syndrome is not a healthy disease, and it often occurs because as you pointed out so correctly, in business you go in with an exit strategy. Usually the social entrepreneur does not think about the exit strategy and often stays too long and limits the growth of the organization that he or she founded. On the other hand, there are many social entrepreneurs who basically say, I'm going to get out at this particular moment in time, and it may be size of budget, size of program, development of board, the sense of sustainable architecture within the organization, and they leave. And we've seen some who basically move to other communities because they knew as long as they were going to be there, their own limitations in separating, as well as the organization's reliance on them, would never let the transition go smoothly.
Well, Jeffrey, of the 18 that you looked at, were there any that accomplished their first mission and then set a second goal, a second mission for their organization?
Well, I think one of the great examples that has been pointed out any number of times is the Harlem Children's Zone. Jeffrey Canada, who's an inspirational leader of that program, had set a series of goals and reached the first set and then began to evaluate as they increased their goals in the late 90s and early 2000s. And basically, the evaluation showed that they were not reaching their goals. And he is the kind of leader who sat back with all of the stakeholders and said, we need to re-engineer this entire place. And indeed, they did, and have been doing brilliantly since that re-engineering.
My guest is Jeffrey Solomon, co-author of the book, The Art of Doing Good. And Jeffrey, in the business community, we've come under a lot of scrutiny for not being transparent enough. We hear that a lot these days. Why is transparency more important than ever in managing a nonprofit? And I'm not just talking about financial transparency either. Why is it so important for a nonprofit?
You know, let's think about the basic themes of a nonprofit. The first is tax exemption. The government forgoes taxes to allow you to work under private auspices to do good. That's, you know, it's built into the framework of the genius of the United States. And yet, if the government's going to forego taxes, the public has the right to know what's going on in this organization. Certainly, it has the right to know that financially, and indeed, all of the tax returns are public and easily accessible today. But it goes beyond that because the stakeholders, largely donors, want to know as well everything that has to do with, am I getting a return on my investment? And again, this is a return on investment that is not a financial return. So the nonprofit sector really, in many ways, has got a very healthy attitude toward transparency, and one that I think serves it well, because the more people know about various organizations and their relative efficiency and effectiveness, the better those organizations will do with the giving public.
My guest is Jeffrey Solomon. So, Jeffrey, if somebody's listening to the sound of our voice right now and they've got an idea for a social project, they want to get it started, what's the first step that any aspiring social entrepreneur can take immediately to begin?
I think The Art of Doing Good is one of about six or eight books that are essentially guides for social entrepreneurs. And there are many, many things that one can simply learn from putting those books together. One of the things we try to do in this book is we've got a list of 15 questions that you have to ask yourself. Are you really ready to make a very major change in your life? Will your family support that change? Can you accept no? Are you willing to build a team? And there's no I in team that really requires a certain kind of leadership. But there's also the very specific things. How do you incorporate? How do you get the 501c3 charitable tax exemption? How do you create an atmosphere that is indeed transparent? How do you break down what you are going to do into measurable goals and objectives? You can't improve what you can't measure. And these are all very practical steps that the social entrepreneur needs to take into account.
Well, Jeffrey, one of the steps that I thought was very interesting and also very counterintuitive in the first 15 steps that you have is that you suggest that the social entrepreneur stop and just really evaluate the whole situation. Don't rush right into it. Why is stopping and gaining some perspective so valuable?
You know, very often in life and business, in order to move forward, you've got to take that pause. You've got to take often a step back. And the challenge today, when we're wired 24/7 and the expectation is that we're going to be responding immediately and we're just never stopping, is we don't do what leadership requires, which is sort of to get up onto the balcony and take a different view of what it is we're doing. And so the argument for stopping allows you to get on the balcony, look at what you're doing, look at what it means, look at what impact it's having, and perhaps re-engineer it so that it can be done better, more effectively, more efficiently, having greater impact for those you're trying to help, but no less important, having less damage to you so that you can keep on doing it.
My guest has been Jeffrey Solomon, co-author of the book, The Art of Doing Good, Where Passion Meets Action. Jeffrey, you've probably intrigued some of my listeners, piqued their interest. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
To the book's website, theartofdoinggood.com, and that will connect them to the book, to me, with a link to the foundation, and our first book, Charles Bronfman's, my first book, The Art of Giving, which was based on what one needs to know to effectively give away money.
Oh, that is great. Jeffrey, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you. And I'll be
Take
back
care.
With... take care to you.